our reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Shall we all just pray for... Sorry, couldn't see it. Okay, shall we just pray for Matt as he comes to share God's word to us? Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for how it points to Jesus at every turn. And we thank you that we can meet together today now and just look at your word. And we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to see you, Jesus, in this passage and in the word that Matt brings to us. We pray for Matt as he opens this passage to us. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless him and anoint him with your spirit so that the words that you want the words that he shares with us this morning. I pray you bless him in this too. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Have you ever had to say goodbye to someone with the thought that you might not see them again? You might not see them for a long time, or maybe they moved away to a different part, or maybe someone might not be very well, you're not quite sure. It can be very emotional, kind of, even as children, you can make friends on holidays, and you kind of think you're going to be best friends forever, and then you say goodbye. When me and Becky first met, she always used to tell me about this story about her grandparents who lived up by in the Highlands of Scotland. And when she was from about the age of about 8, with her brothers and sisters, they would go up once a year and it would take about 16 hours for them to drive up. And her grandparents, who were in the mid-60s then, weren't really keen on flying and it was too far for them. So they would go up once a year and have a great time. But from the age of 8, every time they would leave, Becky's gran would say, well, this might be the last time we see you. And this might be the last time we see you. And then that's emotional, and then and do that. But thank you, Lord. They've been doing that for the last 30 years. And they're still doing that every time we go, they still do it. And so it's emotional, isn't it? But it's a reality as well. And today we're going to look at how the disciples said goodbye to Jesus. And the emotion in that, and what they were feeling, and kind of what they were sensing. And we've been going through this series called Concern Himself and How Jesus is not only in the Gospels, the four Gospels, but he's in the Old Testament. And that there's many over 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. And that is even more that he is the Word of God, that he was with God in the beginning, and that he is the Messiah who the Old Testament talks about. And he's going to come free people, not just Israel, but people like ourselves and Christian, free us from our greatest problem, which is our sin problem. And then at Easter, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the four Gospels and how we read how Jesus has split history in half. That's why it's 2026 today, after Christ, before Christ, and then BC, and how his death and resurrection has affected our timeline. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to look at the things that are yet to come in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, which talks about things yet to come, yet to happen, but also about Jesus coming back again and his return. But the rest of the New Testament, so we've got four Gospels and the book of Revelation, but the rest of the New Testament, so 22 other books out of the 27, is about the early church. It's the story of the early church from the book of Acts, and then the letters to one another. But the massive challenge to the early church and to us as well 2,000 years on is that if Jesus really did fulfill all of the Old Testament, and if Jesus really did die and rise again, and if Jesus really is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he's alive today, then his message should be spoken boldly and seen powerfully in his church and body today. That's a challenge, isn't it? For the church then, that if this is all true, and if you say, yeah, this is true, and Jesus is alive, and we can do all things in Christ, and all this is true, then the early church, they should have seen what Jesus did, they should have said what Jesus said, and they should have seen all the things that happened then. And not just then, but if we believe that today, then all the things that we see in the New Testament and the Gospels, not only just do we believe it, but we want to see that. Amen? We want to see that, and for us to see that, to show that actually this is real. We don't just believe this or say it, but we can see it, that this is real. And Luke is the author of one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke is one of the author of the Gospels, and he recorded the life of Jesus. But also he is the author of the book of Acts, so the first book after the four Gospels. And the book of Acts means the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the early church. And some people say that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts should just be one book. Almost like it should just be one book. Or in the Old Testament, you've got 1 and 2 Samuel, or 1 and 2 Kings. It should almost be 1 and 2 Luke. Because these books are like a mirror to one another. They're supposed to be a mirror. It's almost like one chapter goes straight into the other. Because one page, so that if you look at the Gospel, like one page tells us the story of Jesus in his physical body when he was alive. But then the other page, the book of Acts, tells us of Jesus' spiritual body, the church. And so it's like a mirror, but it's the same thing. You've got the physical body of Jesus, and you've got the spiritual body of Jesus. So on the first page, Jesus shows his incredible love, power, and brings salvation as himself in the Gospel of Luke. But in the second page, the book of Acts, Jesus shows the same power, the same incredible love, the same salvation by himself, but through his body, the church. You have his body, his physical body, and then you have his body as his church. So let's look at the first book of Acts, which Kathy just read. If you have your Bibles, then just you can flick through the. If you don't worry, I'll have the verses on screen. But it's helpful as we look, as we read sometimes, when we read in the Word of God and we hear someone say, we can see that with the open Bibles, oh yeah, this is kind of speaking to me, or I want to dwell on that. So Acts chapter 1, just the first 14 verses, and so it says this. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And so, like I said, you've got this author who is Luke's talking about his former book, the Gospel of Luke, and now he's writing this new book then, the book of Acts. And he was a doctor, a clever man, and so he writes in good detail. He wrote to a guy called Theophilus. The first question is, who is this guy? The answer is, we don't really know much about him. But there's a story, he's writing to this guy to tell him about this and about the early church. But also this is telling us, speaking to us today. I don't know if you've been reading the book of Acts, even just in my quiet time sometimes. This book is over 2,000 years old, and yet I can read it in my room in Wales, 2,000 miles away, 2,000 years later, and like it's as if the Lord is speaking to me. Like, do you get that when you read the Word? Like, he can just speak to you with a verse. And so this is for us. And he wrote what Jesus said and did in his Gospel of Luke, but now he's about to write what Jesus said and continues to do in his church, in his body. And verse 4 says, on one occasion, while he was eating, so in this 40-day period, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I love the first part where it says, while he was still eating with them. It just brings us kind of that comfort that there's going to be heaven, there's going to be food in glory. I mean, he didn't need to eat, but he was eating and have this. But we know now that this was a period of 40 days. The disciples didn't know that. Okay, so put yourself in the disciples' shoes right now. They're seeing Jesus. They saw him die. They were fearful on the Saturday. Then he rose again. And all of them now, over 500 people, have seen Jesus alive. And they're seeing him come and go. He's not just like kind of staying with them. Like, they're seeing him come and go. And we know now that this period is 40 days. But they didn't know that. And Jesus is saying to them, okay guys, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. So I'm telling you now, we're having food together, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. And today, we call that period between Easter and Pentecost. And that's why these prayer times are happening in the city prayer. And like I shared on Friday, so there's prayer times, and in prayer times every week between Easter Sunday and Pentecost, in different churches all over the city, from different kind of traditions of church and kind of ways of doing it, but it's meeting together. Isn't that amazing? Like, that's happening in our city. Like, that's great, isn't it? And when they said it, and I said this to them on Friday night, they said, oh yeah, guys, we're going to do this between Easter and Pentecost. And I said, oh great, that's awesome. And they said, oh, we're going to do it on Fridays. And I was like, oh, Fridays, that's tough. Becky's at work, the boys are at school. But it's okay, I'll come down in the afternoon. And they said, we're going to do it on Friday nights. And I was like, guys, that's my Chinese takeaway night. Guys, seriously, like, you can tell I wasn't part of the organising committee because I would definitely say that's a bad idea, okay? But I thought, oh, well, it's in the city, then I can kind of bypass this, I don't really need to get involved. And then they asked me to go and speak, and I said, oh, no. and then they said, we want you to come and speak in Mercy Church in Adamsdown on Clifton Street. And I was like, oh, no, that makes it even worse. Because I'm even passing takeaways as I go there. And I'll be honest again, I didn't really think much about it. I wasn't quite sure. I went there on Friday. I thought maybe about 20 or 30 people. Has anyone been to Clifton Street before? Clifton Street is rough in the morning, okay? Like, in the morning it's rough. On a Friday night, kind of going to Clifton Street. Like, genuinely, like, this was, like, rough. And I park up my car, make sure it's locked twice. And kind of go there, and you go into this former previous bank with someone on the door allowing you in and out because they have so much trouble there. And generally, I walked in at 7:30 thinking, oh, well, they're not going to start till quarter to 8. I walked in, they started, it was standing room only, about 150 people crammed in from about 15 churches, like just worshipping the Lord. On a Friday night in Clifton Street, one of the roughest areas, and I kind of all together saying, God, we want you to move. We want you to move. Isn't that amazing? Like, honestly, like, I was blown away. Like, it was the best takeaway I've ever had. Honestly, so just to encourage you, I don't want to go out on Friday night. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to kind of chill out for the time. But if we really want the Lord to move, if we really want the Lord to move, then may it move our inconvenience. Amen? Amen. Friday night, you guys, I'm probably the most tired as we are on a Friday night. It's the worst time to pray. And yet what we do when we show up, we're saying, Lord, this is the worst time. I'd rather be doing everything else, but I'm going to put you above all of that. Above all of that. And so just an encouragement, it's happening this Friday. Again, I don't want to go, okay? I don't want to go. But either me or Becky will be going because it was so encouraging to just see that and be in that room. Honestly, guys, this Friday is in Emmanuel Church. And I'll send the details, but just a massive encouragement. And trust me, if you go there, you definitely don't want to go. It'll be an effort, but it'll be the best time of your week. So just encourage you to do that. And this is what they did. They went and they prayed. And in verse 6, it says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So they're having food together. Jesus died, he rose again. They're with him, he's alive. And now they ask the question. He says, go away to Jerusalem. They ignore that bit. And basically saying, okay, God, are you going to restore Israel right now? Like, come on, we've been waiting for this. Are you going to kind of bring all your kingdom? Are you going to wrap everything up? Are you going to show everyone? And they were hoping that this is it. Jesus died on the Friday. All their hopes, dreams, and future is dead like Jesus. But now he rose again and he conquered death. And so they're eating food with the most powerful man in the world. They're having a meal right now with the most important person on the planet, and they are eating with him. Like, they've gone from fearful, scared people hiding on a room on Saturday to almost kind of like being with just like the most strongest, imagine like the most muscliest, dangerous, kind of amazing guy. Like, no one can touch this guy. Not put any superhero against this guy, and we're having food with him. Like, we're with him right now. And so they're kind of saying, well, God, like, are you going to restore Israel? Like, he's saying to us, go wait in Jerusalem. Don't worry about that, God. Like, Jesus, your Lord, just restore Israel, man. You conquered death. Like, do it. Like, we're with you. This is going to be the best time ever. Like, just do it now. And then verse 7, he just said this before he goes on. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And just quick side point on this. If you ever hear people say something like, Jesus is going to come back this month, or Jesus definitely coming back in this year, or God told me that he's definitely coming back by 2027. If you say that, then let me encourage you to stop saying that. And if you hear people say that to you, let me encourage you to just ignore them. Because we do believe Jesus is coming back, amen? And there are signs in scriptures that point to that. And it's very important to say that and believe that and live in light of that and look for those things. But if God the Father hasn't even told Jesus the Son when he's coming back, then I doubt he's told you. Okay? And so if God the Father has not told Jesus the Son or even the Holy Spirit, then let me just put this humbly to you. He is not going to tell you or anyone else. Okay? So politely smile and move on, okay? Verse 8 says this. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, like we're in Jerusalem. You told us to be in Jerusalem. We're from around this area. Okay, that's not too bad. And then in all Judea, I'm thinking, well, I don't really get what's going on. Like, you're making it a bit bigger. And Samaria, well, you know, like, we hate those guys. And so, what are you doing there? And to the ends of the earth. So they're thinking, okay, Jesus, restore Israel, do it now. But Jesus kind of says, well, don't think about that for now. Don't worry about that. Instead, wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit is going to come to you, and you're going to be my witnesses in all these places. And they're probably the kind of thing, looking at Jesus and thinking, he's going to say this is a joke. Like, this must be... This is April the 1st. This is April Fool's Day. He's got us here. Or very funny Jesus. Or maybe the other guys are just waiting for Peter to trip up. Come on, Peter. Like, say something. Go on, say something. No, Lord, you're here now. You're forever with us. Like, this is the dream team. So do your thing now. And we'll reign with you. Like, this is going to be brilliant. Like, just do it now. We're going to reign with you. Restore Israel. Now, and then verse 9 happens. It says, and after that he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And you can just, it doesn't say this, but you can just hear, imagine saying, no. Please no. No, don't go. No, that's not a good idea. Okay, we're playing hide and seek now. Come back. No, don't stop going there. Come back. Like, what are you doing? Jesus, what are you doing? You just conquered death. Stay with us. Like, restore Israel now. Like, do it now. Like, stay with us. Don't go anywhere. And verse 10 says, and they were looking intently. Or some other way to say, gazing steadfastly, almost like gormlessly, hoping, like, kind of like, I don't know whether to smile or cry or what to do right now. But they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. We looked at that a few weeks ago about how two men or angels were in the tomb. Dressed in white, stood beside them, and verse 9 said, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? They just kind of, you don't know how long they've been doing that, do you? They're just kind of looking into the sky. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Like, I love these angels' job. They basically came to say, boys, he's gone. He's coming back, but he really has gone right now. He will be back, but not in your lifetime. Basically, guys, it's over for you now. Guys, this is your turn now. This is his master plan. He's going to go up, he's going to ascend into heaven, and he's going to give you his spirit. The same spirit that rose from the dead. He's going to give you his spirit. I wonder if maybe one of his disciples were maybe like really pumped and think, okay, yeah, let's go, game on, I challenge accepted, but once it's run down to Jerusalem, let's see what happens, let's do this. But I think most, if not all of them, would have been just looking into the sky and ignoring the angels and just saying, please come back now. Please come back. You said you'll come back, so please come back now. But he didn't come back. And he said, angels, to tell them that he's not coming back right now. And verse 12 says this, it says, and then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present, and there's some names here, those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And we read in chapter 2, there's around 120 altogether. And they all joined constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so here starts the Church of Jesus Christ. So here starts the Church. And these were the names of the people at the beginning. And millions, if not billions, have been added since. And if your trust is in Jesus, your name is also on this list. Isn't that amazing? Like, if our trust in Jesus, your name is also on this list. And we know in Acts 2, which I'll speak on next week, the devoted part, that when they then wait in Jerusalem, they wait in their praying, the Holy Spirit then comes in power and supernatural things happen. They communicate Christ with words and in different languages. They have an incredible love and unity and give to one another. And then healing, signs, and salvation comes in an incredible way. And so what happens? Effectively, what happened in Luke's first book, the Gospel of Luke, with Jesus doing all these things as God in the flesh. Now, all that stuff is happening again. In his second book, the book of Acts, it's a mirror copy of his first book, with Jesus doing all these things with his church being the flesh. With his church being the flesh. And this is a massive encouragement, and also a massive challenge for us as Christ Church. Now we today, just listen to these words, okay guys, we today show people whether Jesus is alive or not. Like we, as his church. Like he ascended 2,000 years ago and he's going to come back in a physical sense. But in the meantime, we are the ones who show people whether Jesus is alive or not. We today show if what happened 2,000 years ago is still true and for today. We today have the same Holy Spirit as what conquered death and rose Jesus from the dead. The same Holy Spirit that then was in the old early church with incredible love and incredible signs and wonders. And we still have that same Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? We have that same Holy Spirit. So if we don't show love, then we can communicate that God isn't love. If we don't see signs, wonders, healing, deliverance, the miraculous side, we can communicate that God is not all-powerful. And if we don't communicate the gospel as the only way to be saved, then we can communicate that there are many ways. Like, he's given us his spirit, but he wants us to be his flesh, to be his body. I don't know about you, but that's really encouraging, but it makes me think, well, we need to pray. Don't we? We need help. We need to pray for one another. And we don't do this every Sunday, but some Sundays when it talks about the passage, talks for us as a collective, as a body, we like to pray for one another. And so if you're not a Christian, or if you're new, or if it's the first time you think, oh no, do I have to pray? Then you don't have to pray, okay? And what we say is, still be part of a group and just watch how other people pray. Listen to other people pray. If you're seeking God and you want to know if this is true, then you kind of want to see how the church lives, don't you? You want to see, I want to kind of see what that looks like. And so don't be uncomfortable or feel you need to stay or do anything. Just sit and watch. But I think it's important for us as people to just, we're going to just turn in small groups and pray for each other. Because Stu said last week about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit in us. He wants us to receive joy. He wants us to make us more loving, to become more patient. He wants us to have all these things. Like, this is about becoming more like Jesus. And if you look at our list right now, you might be thinking, yeah, thank you, God. You've just given me joy right now, even though my situation is not right. You've given me joy. So give God thanks for that. But you might be struggling with kindness right now. And you might be thinking, Lord, I just want to confess to you that I'm not kind right now. Or I haven't been kind. I just want your help. I know that that doesn't represent you. And so I want you to be helpful. And confessing that is good, okay? Confessing that is good. Or the spiritual gifts, so you have the fruit of the Spirit, and then you have the gifts of the Spirit. And gifts are given by God to all of us. And the Word of God said that if you have His Spirit, then you have spiritual gifts. They're not to be earned. So fruit of the Spirit is to be produced and character, and for us to be worked on that. With gifts of the Spirit, God has given you gifts for His church. So it's not as if, like, oh, I've become a Christian 3 years now I get the gift of service. But He's given you gifts for His church. So the question there is, Lord, if I don't know, then show me what my gift is. Not for you to say, oh, guys, I've got the gift of this. No, God, show me how to best serve my church. So that's what you do. Lord, like, show me what my gift is. But also, if you look at this list as well, and as a church, think about, right, what gifts aren't we seeing in our church today? In Thornhill right now. What gifts aren't we seeing? And pray into that. Pray into that. If we're not seeing the healing that we want to see, God, we want to see healing. Amen? We want to see that, Lord. And so if that means that you want to give someone a certain gift of that, then we want that. We want that. Lord, if we're not looking after one another enough, God, help us. We want that. Lord, if there's words of wisdom, then we want that. And so we can pray for each other. And so that's what we're going to do, is going to turn in groups and just pray for one another. And it's good to confess as well in that group. So if you're struggling with some kind of fruit, or maybe you recognize, yeah, God, you've given me this gift, but I haven't been doing it, then confess with another and say that. But also pray for each other for our church. But use a warning, okay, guys? Because that's quite a positive thing to do, isn't it? But use a warning. What happened to Jesus when he fully operated in the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. He went to the cross. So when Jesus was fully God, fully love, and operated in a full way, the result was they nailed him on a cross. And he didn't have lights on him like that. It wasn't pretty. So when Jesus was fully God, okay, the result was they nailed him to a cross. And when we are fully the church, so when we become more like one another in the fruit of the Spirit, and when we operate even more in the spiritual gifts, do you know what's going to happen? Persecution. Like, great stuff's going to happen, but also persecution will happen. Because we've got an enemy, and he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. And so, they say, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you pray for, but hopefully, if your heart is like, yeah, well, if persecution is the result, but we get this, and we get to be in his body, then I'm up for that. I want to pray into that. Because that's what we signed up for. So if Jesus did that and he went to the cross, then we want to be his body. And if persecution is part of that, none of us want that. But if that's part of it, then we say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. I submit my life to you. I want to trust you and live for you.